You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
As we speak, thousands of U.S., British, and Afghan soldiers are poised to push into a Taliban stronghold in the area of Marja in Afghanistan's southern Helmand province. The town is one of the last strongholds of the Taliban in this mountainous area, and it's the center of the opium trade for insurgents as well. Traditionally, strategists like to use the element of surprise, but this operation has been widely publicized for at least a week or two in advance. Here's U.S. and NATO Commander Stanley McChrystal speaking a couple days ago.
We're trying to make this not a military operation only, but a civilian and military operation, because really the thing that's changing is going to be the level of security in the area, but the governance.
Let's go now to Captain Abraham Sipe. Captain Sipe is a public affairs officer at Camp Leatherneck in Afghanistan, and the Marines at Camp Leatherneck will form the main column of this assault. Good morning, Captain.
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
Can you respond to this description by General Stanley McChrystal that this is going to be not just a military offensive, but a civilian offensive as well, cooperation with the civilian side? How is the civilian government of Afghanistan coordinating?
It absolutely is going to be both a military and civilian effort. The military portion, the clear portion of the operation is just one small part of an overall strategy to bring Marja back into the fold and return the legitimate government of Afghanistan to a government presence to the city of Marja.
Can you explain the strategy of warning people in advance that this offensive is coming? Is that expected to make the Taliban flee, or is it just the residents that are fleeing the area?
We don't necessarily have a big problem with the enemy fleeing Marja. If the enemy flees Marja, then it'll make it a lot more conducive to us returning and providing those services and returning security and stability to the city. And the numbers of families leaving Marja right now, our estimates are a lot less than what has been reported in the press. But we hope that as soon as possible we can make Marja a place where the citizens feel very safe and secure once we can get the legitimate Afghan national security forces and government returning to the city.
But Captain Sipe, when you warn the enemy in advance, aren't you taking the risk that they're going to dig in their heels, that they're going to hide in various places around the city, that they're going to have time to plant IEDs and other booby traps around the area?
Well, I'll tell you, we've been here. I've been here for 9 months with Task Force Leatherneck, and Marja has been there the entire time. So it's not, they have been dugging in Marja for quite some time, and I'm not sure that we think that the risk. The added risk that we might be taking by giving a warning is actually going to be outweighed by the benefits of letting the people know that hey, this is what we're about to do, and we're doing it for the long term safety and security of your homes and your livelihoods.
We're also told that ISAF is aiming to get a 1-to-1 ratio with one Afghan for every NATO soldier, but. Number one, can you achieve that? And number two, are these forces, many of them are Pashto recruits that you guys have specifically targeted, are they well-trained? Are they well-equipped?
I'm not going to discuss specific numbers right now, but I can say that we've done one major operation when we started this this deployment. It was called Operation Kanjar in July. And in July, we had about 4,000 ISAF service members partnered with about 650 Afghan National Security Forces. And that's about a 7 or 8 to 1 ratio. I can tell you that the ratios of ISAF to Afghan National Security Forces for this operation are going to be very closer to a 1-to-1 ratio. I don't think that we can say it's a 1-to-1 ratio at this time, and I'm not going to discuss specific numbers, but it will be a large Afghan National Security Force presence during the operation and also after the operation to come in and restore order into the city.
Captain Abraham Sipe is a public affairs officer at Camp Leatherneck in Afghanistan. Let's return now to a military analyst, retired Colonel Sam Gardner. Colonel, I wanted to get your thoughts about this planned offensive in Marja. Do you think this strategy of moving into the Helmand province is a good one?
Well, it's uncontrolled territory. It's not governed by the Afghan government. If the United States' ultimate objective of turning over control to the Afghans is going to be achieved, we got to do it. It's also, as you actually mentioned earlier, a center of opium production. That's a big problem. Although it may not be the primary source of income now for the Taliban, it is a major source of income. So the strategic objectives demand that something be done about it.
Well, could we get into the situation where we're playing whack-a-mole, where we move them out of Marja, they're just going to move their forces to another area and dig in somewhere else?
Oh, certainly. And in fact, that's the danger of the advance notification. However, reports coming from civilians who are fleeing there suggest that that's not happening. The civilians that are coming out are saying that the Taliban are digging in for a big fight. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. Some of the civilians that come out could in fact be Taliban, but it looks like it's going to be a big fight.
Well, we're getting reports that there's somewhere between 400 and 1,000 Taliban in Marja. If they're digging in, doesn't the Taliban really have everything to gain here, even if they lose soldiers, in terms of being treated like a real, respectable, credible insurgent force? Isn't that, in terms of PR, a good thing for them?
Well, the real critical thing is how the Afghans react. This is as much a test of the Afghan police and military as it is a test for, the General McChrystal strategy. How they perform is what we need to watch very carefully.
Okay, retired Colonel Sam Gardner, he taught military strategy at the National War College and at the Naval War College. We are also joined earlier by Captain Abraham Sipe, Deputy Public Affairs Officer at Camp Leavenworth in Afghanistan. Captain Sipe, are you still there?
I am, yes.
When does the offensive really actually begin? The official offensive?
I've not been doing this job for that long, but I can't. I know not the answer to one of those.
You don't know that.
Just a test. There, that's all we're doing. And I love your cell phone. What is that on your cell phone?
The ring, you mean?
I'm not
yeah.
sure what you're referring
there's
to.
There's a great cell
a
phone ring.
Catchy
yeah.
cell phone yeah. ring. We were wondering if that was
righteous
yours.
Soldiers.
Oh, did you catch that? Yeah.
yeah.
That's, I've got about. I literally have five phones on my desk, and in order for me to tell which,
they'll be ringing today.
Public Affairs Officer, thanks so much, Captain Sipe. It's 15 minutes past the hour now. Let's check in on the headlines.
Grim death count in Haiti. The government now says it believes 230,000 people were killed in last month's earthquake, close to the number of people killed in the Asian tsunami 5 years ago. And the figures are up nearly 20% from the last estimate. Here at home, weather woes are the big story along the East Coast today. Snow totals will vary across the Mid-Atlantic region. Bob Orovec, lead forecaster for the National Weather Service, has some details.
Snowfall totals of anywhere from 6 to 12 inches are expected across the Washington, D.C. and Baltimore metropolitan areas. And as you go farther northward from Philadelphia up to New York City, the amounts are expected to be in excess of a foot.
Hundreds of flights have been canceled in anticipation of what's being described as a major storm.
Overseas in Afghanistan, avalanches have killed more than 150 people along a key road that connects Kabul with the north. Rescuers are working for a third day to reach those still trapped. More than 2,000 people have been rescued so far. We've been reporting about Toyota's problems for weeks, but today Honda takes the spotlight. Another 437,000 cars have been added to Honda's faulty airbag recall. The company is replacing the driver's side airbag in five models. In U.S. retail sales, not including cars, rose more than 3% in January. That's compared to the same month last year. It's the third month of gains in a row. And finally, bring a sweater if you're flying American Airlines. In May, the airline will start charging $8 for a blanket and a pillow on all its domestic flights.
How do they determine
flights?
Oh, we can't charge
look
seven.
At some of the stories
we're
watching
do eight.
This morning.
I mean, how do they figure that?
Coming up, the First Lady's hoping to combat childhood obesity. For tips on how to do that, we actually turn to adults. We've got your weight loss success stories coming up in just a few minutes.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, are politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.